Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I just want to dedicate this song to all the lovers in the world tonight. And I expect that to be the whole world, because everybody needs someone, something to love.
Well, welcome back to another episode of I'm Mass with authorist Terry E. Lyle. And that tune is If You Think You're Lonely Now, KC of Jodeci. Anyway, tonight's a special night. Before I say anything about my guests, I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west and all my global listeners in 28 countries. Thank you for supporting us, sister. I really appreciate that. And I want to also say hello to a friend of mine, Mary Newsom. How you doing, darling? She's making that good old pastry up there at Publix bakery section. So if you're in Publix, check her out. But anyway, I want to say my latest book, Why Did I Stay So Long, has just came out, and it's a book about women, senior citizens, and men who are victims of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Get the book. You'll be blessed. It costs $15. You can go through Zelle and just use my phone number, 443-956-8753, or you can send me a PayPal invoice to Sweetfire01. However you do it, or just buy it for someone else, because we all know someone who is hiding behind the shame that they were victims, especially the men, because they might want to come off like I'm a punk. But some of these men get beat down by these hardcore women, and they're all stuck because they want that crazy sex, and that goes a little bit to the left, and boom, there you go, there it is. So before we get started with my show, my guest, I want to say hi to my co-hosts, Chris and Mark. How y'all doing?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing good, Chris. I'm glad you're doing good, darling. Over there in Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
Yes.
Hi, Terry. I love the book. I got my copy. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I'm so glad to have somebody supporting us. Hey, thank you so much, Mark. Yes. And where you calling from, Mark?
I'm from good old sunshiny San Diego.
All right, Mark Anthony Real out of sunshine San Diego. Today you don't have no mudslides or no nasty weather, so no fires going off, so that's a good thing. So I'll be watching what's going on in California. So without further ado, my phenomenal guest tonight, Mrs. Pam Hovey. This female has been behind the camera. Not behind the camera, she's been in front of the camera doing her television show for 13 years. She and had her own part-time job on top of that. And, you know, she just, oh, my God, she know everybody from the politicians to the to anybody and everybody in her community. So, man, if she ever got that Rolodex or that phone book, woo, I'd be so happy. All the network and numbers she got, oh, she will definitely bless me. Hey, Pam, how you doing, girl?
Fine, authorist Terry E. Lyle, celebrity,
hey,
radio host, book author, and everything else in between.
Girl, right. You know how we famous try to do it in the South, man. Make stuff happen.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So it's a blessing to have you here on the show. And I want to congratulate you on upcoming 17 years of anniversary being the same person. Now, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I can't get past a year or so because I got zero tolerance. You know, you even mess up, you know, and try to fix it right away, or I'm kicking you out the door. But, you know how I do it. And I think that's because Pam, she don't tell nobody. Her dad and her mom and her sister are ministers. And I'm surprised she ain't one, but she might not be a minister, but she definitely is an evangelist. And you see the love all pouring all out of her. So with that being said, I'm going to let Mark ask your first question. Then we'll go to Chris.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to have you on the show. The question
I'm
about
honored
you
to be on the show.
Okay. The question that has you, that sticks out in my mind about you is how, why would a successful television host take a sabbatical to launch out to be a self-employed photographer? And where did that passion come from, Pam?
That's a good question, Mark. And authorist Terry, my health changed. And I came down with osteoarthritis, tendonitis, and both my ankles.
Oh,
so I decided that I needed to concentrate on my health, then, of course, concentrate more in ministry. So I decided to slow life down. In the midst of slowing life, God has a sense of humor, because I am, my photographer teacher, Greg Grice, was here. He was always the one who photographed me when I was doing my TV show. He took good care of me, and I never liked to be in front of, you know, taking pictures. I don't mind taking pictures, but I don't want to be the one to do it all. And somehow, I just wanted to promote the church, and I just pulled out that camera that we used on the TV show, and to God be the glory, here I am, through the help of my teacher, Greg Grice.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Oh, girl.
All right.
He's a good photographer. Yes, he is. Had a great teacher.
Yes. Beautiful.
That shocked my mom, too, because we were standing up in church, and my mother said, because she did pictures. My mother loved to take pictures when we was kids, and she was good at it. My father bought her a 35-millimeter Minolta. And my father invested in my mother's dream. He was always such the cheerleader in everything that we did. He was not the type of man to hold his girls back, nor his wife. And I believe that contributed why we're so strong today. And my mother said it in church. She said, "Baby, I wouldn't. If you'd have told me you'd be taking pictures, I would not believe it." I said, "Mom, I don't believe it. But I love it. It is so much fun."
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, who knows? You might decide to put out a book of all your exposures, you know, all your pictures, put it in a book, because a lot of people like those books that have pictures in them, you know, in places that you've been in the background and all that stuff like that. But I know my co-host, Chris, she's sitting there waiting to jump at you with this question. So, Chris, go ahead and ask the question, darling.
Yes, Pam. My name is Chris Michael Ward. I watched your interview with Judge Len Toler of Divorce Court, and it was a good interview. And my question is, when you had your show, did you ever try to interview Judge Judy?
You know what? I never thought about Judge Judy, although I like Judge Judy. She's straight to the point. She knows what she's doing, and you can't come up in her courtroom trying to pull the wool over her eyes, as we say here in the South.
I love her.
No. I love everything about that little lady. But Judge Lynn Toler, she was down to earth. Judge Toler was down to earth. When we interviewed her, it was at the Marriott here in Columbus, Georgia, and we was waiting for everybody, pretty much who's a celebrity. They have a point person there. That is their go-between. Well, the point person hadn't showed up yet. So she was just walking through the lobby like it was nothing. And we remembered her from TV. We said, "Judge Toler." I said, "I'm Pam Willis Hovey, Unity with Pam TV show. I am here to interview you." She said, "Well, girl, come on up here." Took us on up there to the penthouse. And we had started interviewing her before her guest, before the person who handles everything for her came. She wasn't, you know, some people would be concerned, they have their security, but she just was very down to earth, very personable. It was one of a classic interview, very classic.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, my question for you, Pam, you know, I know you've been doing it for a long time, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity always to promote my latest book and everything. And what people might not know, but I knew, sometimes I would be shaking. I felt like my voice was trembling. And how do you get so comfortable? Because I don't care how many times I do it, it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'd be having like an inside anxiety attack or something.
The thing of it is, when you're pastor's children, you're always trained and equipped to handle the ministry, even if your parents cannot. And you're trained like that from, I will say, knee-high to a chicken, as we say in the South. So you're always in front of somebody. always in front. You're always speaking, and you're always instilled in you. You're representing your father. You're representing your mother. You're always on point. So it's just second nature to be in front of people, and you're everything in the ministry. So when you get on TV and you find guests such as yourself that's nervous, you go and you try to relax them, make them calm, make them comfortable. It's basically they're in your house, but you just have a whole lot of people in your house looking at you talk.
Okay.
And that's how I looked at TV.
That's a good way to look at it. When somebody's in your house, you're not uncomfortable. But, you know, I wish I had thought about that then, but I was like, oh, my God. You know, and you were so comfortable with it. I said, well, where did she get that from? But, okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Gary, you would have a problem. Gary would not have a problem. You would not have a problem.
Well, hell,
girl.
I didn't. I was nervous. I hope I faked it. People didn't know.
That's one thing I loved about TV, because we had a television show. We opened up the door to people from Judge Lynn Toler to maybe a mom and pop business that didn't have opportunity to be on TV, or didn't have the money to be on TV, or you wouldn't have known about them on TV if we wasn't there. We were the voice for the small business people. We were their cheerleader. Like my father always instilled in us, he was our cheerleader. Mom was our cheerleader. I looked at that TV show, we're your cheerleader. If you got a book, I'm cheering for you. Buy this book. You know, sow a seed into this person's business. Don't let a person go out of business unless they want to. I hate to see people go out of business for lack of finance. I hate that with all my heart. At least I can say when I stopped the TV show, it's because I wanted to, not because I got canceled. They didn't want to renew my contract. No, if I want to go back right now tomorrow, I could go back. Mm-mm. I stopped it due to health. But I was glad to be
well, I hope
in a place.
You keep in contact with the people that you knew that was on your show, because she had people from the Girls, Inc., and then she had the Samoan dancers. I mean, she was like, it was a medley of different variety of people with different things to help them, and people with their stories from having HIV to they survived and how they continue on in their ministry. So it's always going to be something at one of Pam's shows that's going to bring a tear to your eye. And always when it's over, her father blessed the food that's always served after they have the program. So, yeah, she had it going on. I'm sure there's a way that they can listen to your old shows, right?
Yes, they stay out there on YouTube. We don't take them off.
Okay. Okay, so on that note, we need to take a little small break. Can we be back in 2 and 2?
Controversial, real, unparalleled. Authorist Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. 945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave you.
Johnson, she told me, get your own show. And we've been here ever since. So, wow, 7 years doing this, talking my trash.
Praise God.
Amen. But I'm getting the message out. So, Chris, go ahead and ask your question, baby.
All right, Pam. Well, my next question is, you've had such a great career and on radio and with everything you've done. Is there anything that you haven't done that you still want to do?
Wow, that's a deep question.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woo.
Yeah.
You know what? One thing I would love to do, I would like to do a shoot overseas in the Mediterranean. I would love to do a Mediterranean photo shoot. Now, that is a expensive bucket list, but I'm going to have to pray about that. That's something I want to do. I really do.
Okay.
You never know. You might need royalty who, to get you over there. Yes,
you never
possible.
Know. Like they say, the Bible says you have not because you don't ask.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm sure our Heavenly Father is already saying, my child, Terry, man, she'll never stop begging. I'm begging all the time. I'll be begging in my sleep. But at least he's been blessing me day by day. So, And Mark knows how he's been blessed as well. You know, we all been blessed. We
the
cost. We woke up in our right mind. You know, that's number one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Mark, he's my historian. What's your question, sweetheart?
Well, I already envisioned you, Pam, by one of the ancient ruins of Rome, taking pictures. So it's going to happen. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Once you envision something, that's how you make it happen. And God listens and he understands. So
yes,
my question, Chris Michael kind of stole my question about Miss Lynn Toler because I'm a huge Lynn Toler fan from divorce court days, and I wish she was still on the air. But that got me to looking at one of your YouTube videos that she did, an interview about setting rules before marriage, Pam. Now, you've had a successful marriage with Harry for how long now?
On the 22nd of this month will be 17 years.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Did you guys set any rules before marriage? Or did you just kind of play it as it goes along?
You know what? Being that he's my second husband and I'm his second wife, yes, yes, and double yes. One thing we both said, don't bring no baggage from the first relationship into this one.
Right.
We are friends. So that's number one. No arguing. Oh, no, no, no. No, no. We don't do the arguing. We talk it out. We respect each other's space, and we allow each other to be what each one needs to be. And we always put God in the center of it. I mean, everything we do, we pray about everything. And my husband is my friend. It's a shame, but some people are married, and they don't have a friendship with their spouse. But make your spouse your friend. Friend and be your spouse cheerleader.
There you go. No wonder it's worked for so long. Okay.
Yes.
How long did you last the first one? I didn't know you was married. How long did the first marriage last?
It was 3 years. He was a beater and a cheater, and my family supports the NRA.
Okay. Get that done. Smith and Wesson.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to go.
Wow.
That's
a shame that, you know, a lot of people, that's their story, you know, because I've been a victim of a crazy man. I watched my mother once upon a time when she was abused, and when she was going through her hospice care, you know, and I was praying all the time for her and the family to get better. And I prayed that the Lord give me something as a reflection that I was doing it for my mother, you know, that one last thing to make her proud. And that book went to the publishers on a Wednesday, and she passed on a Friday. So I know y'all out there listening, everybody knows somebody who's been abused. And a lot of y'all keep it on a down low because you don't want nobody to know because you feel stupid or embarrassed. Don't feel that way, because that's how that stuff tears you down from the inside. You know, your self-esteem goes to the left. You know, don't do that, man. It's not about me just promoting a book. I'm trying to promote an idea that there's hope at the end of the rainbow, you know, because I never, ever, you know, somebody would have to kill me dead before somebody sit there and try to abuse me and I don't do nothing. If I just got to be crude with it, you know, okay, baby, you say you want me to do fellatio on you? Baby, when I come up out of that, you know, he'll be singing like a soprano because he won't have nothing left to work with, because I'm for real. And people out there listening, I'm not joking. This is the honest and God truth for me, you know, because what I've been through, if I ever, and if you ever been with somebody who's abusing you, let me tell you, okay, be nice, fix dinner, let them go to sleep, put their penis on top of their stomach, drop some crazy glue around it, put some crazy glue in the eyelash, and when they wake up, they're going to be pissing on themselves, they can't see you, and beat the living shit out of them. For God, forgive me, because you know something, this stuff is crazy, and they won't have no more problems when they try to surgically at the hospital peel it apart and say, oh, put me in my lungs. You know what I'm saying? Don't go out like that. And I'm just saying, don't do it. I'm telling you. Ooh, you heard that movie? That movie with Farrah Fawcett, The Burning Bed.
Yes.
You got to get revenge.
Like J-Lo movie, so, enough.
Who had that last question? Was it Mark or was it Chris?
I had the last question, Mark? Yeah.
Mark asked the last one.
Okay, well, Chris, darling, go ahead and do your thing, baby. You're asking some good questions, I must admit. Go on.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. I really did try to do my homework.
Stop his game tonight.
Yeah. Well, my next question, Pam, is when did your love for photography start? When did your love for that kick in?
That began in the midst of being handicapped.
Oh.
It started. So this would be, I said 3 years, but we're in 2020. So this is my fourth year being a photographer. Like I said, 13 years by me being doing TV, I had all that, you know, videographer, photographer, I had all that. So there wasn't a need for me to do it. But once you stop working and you got time on your hands, and that's a transition too. Once you go into retirement from something and something fills so much of your time, it's like, Lord, what do I do now? And then in the midst of, like I said, in the midst of it, trying to promote the church and making sure we have content about the church on social media, the camera was the thing to gravitate to. But I'm looking at it in the ways of exposing the ministry to people who are hurting and going through different things. I'm not looking at this camera is about to turn my life around. I did not see that coming. I mean, I've traveled by doing the photography. I've traveled to Philly, done a shoot in Philly. I've traveled to Florida, Tennessee.
Wow.
And I want to go on, and I want to go on the West Coast. So I was looking at Mark, and I'm looking at authorist guests. I said, I'm gonna have to travel to where some of these guests are, because they're where I want to be too. And I'm
That's
like,
right.
Hey, the Mediterranean is a bucket list, but the United States is now.
Come on down, Pam, to San Diego.
That's what I was looking at. Then I also saw somebody was with Diana Ross, too, in a picture.
That was me. That was me.
I'm keeping out authorist guests. I'm like, I mean, it's with the world of photography, you hold time. You hold history and time in a still shot. And those images are going to outlive me. Like, I've seen pictures of my grandparents before I was born in pictures. Once I die and go on, my pictures will still be here, hanging on somebody's wall, somebody's baby I took a picture of, somebody's wedding I shot. It's going to outlive me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a question, Pam. When you decided, when you woke up this particular day and said, okay, I want to have a television show, and I'm sure there's other people who aspire to do the same thing, how did you go from just having that idea, I want a TV show, to getting all those people, like those politicians that normally it's hard to break past the middle person to reach them to come out? How did you slide yourself in to meeting the people, you know, upper echelon, you know, to be on your show? How did you do it?
You know, here's the thing. Goes back to God again, being a pastor's daughter. It never fails. I started doing TV, trying, again, promote the church. Somehow it seems like gifts and talents that I have, everybody have their own, God has them on their own path. But mine, my path, I'm trying to promote the church and end up with a TV show. Something I was not even thinking about. I had a janitorial service straight out of high school. Matter of fact, I was doing my own business in high school at 18. So I started doing things on Senator Harbison's show to put out things about the church, and he liked the fact that I was young in school and had my own business. Go to school with a briefcase, TV crew comes out to high school, interviews Pam, doing janitorial work, leave school, clean people houses, promoting the church. Fast forward 10 years later, so in my latter 20s, here comes TV. Not even thinking about it. And get a call from the TV station. Hi, this is Virgil Thompson from WYBU. And we like your ideas, because I was big on people coming together, because I know when it comes to religion, we see God differently. But I know there's a common ground we can all come together. That's business. Everybody come together and make some money. So I'm like, we could do business. Let's strip out what we don't like about each other politically. But we all share the United States of America. So let's figure out how to live in this country together. In that hour, you on Pam's show. Now, when you leave Pam's show, you can fall out. That's on you. But when you're on Pam's show, you're going to act like y'all in unity. For some reason, those ideas work. Had a TV show for 13 years, and I'm just trying to promote the church where we can come together. I wasn't looking to promote Pam. That was not in my mind, not in a million years.
Well, darling, I must admit, I enjoyed having you here, and we got to wrap this up, and I want my co-host.
I love you.
We love you, too. Say goodbye to our special guest, and, you know, Pam, anytime you want to come back, you know, it's open door policy with you. I don't care what it is you're promoting, you know, whatever it is, you got that. And I'm not going to tell you right where I live at, but, you know, if you come visit, you got a beer room with your name on it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
That's right, baby.
I'm coming out.
That's right.
Yes.
Baby, take us home, Mark. I'm coming out. Yes. Let's do this.
Good show.
I want the world to know. Got to let it show. I'm coming out.
Yes, that's how we do it. So thank you again, Pam, for being on the show. We wish you a blessing.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Anytime. All right, Chris Michael Ward, say good night to all guests, darling.
All right, good night. Arrivederci.
Okay, the band. Ooh, baby. This is your night, Chris. She's doing the thing. All right, well, say good night to all guests.
Night, John boy.
Good night. Before it comes your way.
Y'all take it easy now. Next week is Valentine's Day. We will not broadcast on Valentine's Day so y'all can be with y'all lovers and everything. Chris, make sure you put a big old notice on all the media sites. There will be no Valentine's Day show. But come back for the 21st and you'll see Julie Thunberg. And she's back for her part two. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Great job, Chris. Great job, Mark.
Thank you.